18th of
Yeah. Yud Gimel Teves, 26th of December, Rabbi Meir Salaznik from Bushy Shul. Titled?
Actually, what title was given? Was it given in the end? I can't remember. You can either call it Hilchos Bikocholim, or you can call it does it matter if the imam or the vicar visits you?
There we go.
So if I can just put there. Before I start, first of all, I'm not going to say anything which you wouldn't be able to work out for yourselves. However, as some of you may know that I have, besides being the Rabbi Bushy, I have a title of being the senior Jewish hospital chaplain. This is actually a very part-time position. I succeeded Rabbi Martin Vandenberg. Rabbi Vandenberg actually had it as a full part-time position because he was, when he came down from Manchester to Wembley, so Wembley was his half position, and the chaplaincy, the hospital chaplaincy, was his other half position. So basically, he was committed to it something like 2.5 to 3 days a week. In my own situation, when they asked me to take over, when he went to Hong Kong, I said, but hold on, he was the rabbi of one of the smaller, a shul which had been large but was declining, and I'm the rabbi of one of the larger shuls. I can't give the same commitment that he has done. They said, not necessary really, because he's put everything into place. All you need to do, all we need is someone to ensure that things take over. So I am probably spending on average something like a half a day a week doing this, although sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. Just an interesting story. Most of you will have heard of Simeon Singer. Simeon Singer was the gentleman who, he actually was a Rav, but did not use his smicha. In the 19th century, the Adlers, as chief rabbis, were intent on being the rabbi of the community. This was actually a very successful and sensible thing, because given the amoratzus of many of the ministers at the time, and the fact that many of them would have been open to reform had there not been this very centralized structure operated by the Adlers, the Adlers were actually totally sensible in saying that they were the only Rabbonim. This, of course, became ridiculous, however, when the Dayanim also couldn't call themselves Rabbonim, they had to call themselves Reverend. Simeon Singer actually accepted this. He had smicha, he went to Europe, he had smicha. Nevertheless, he understood that this was for the greater good of the Kehillah and was willing to be called Reverend. And without question, in terms of Victorian England, he was a Talmud Chacham. Now, he was also a well-read man, and when he went on holiday, presumably in the summer, he would hire a vicarage. The reason why he would rent a vicarage was because the best home libraries would be in vicarages. On one occasion, the vicar said to him, this is the cost of renting my home for the next 2 weeks, but I can let you have it for cheaper if you agree to take the service in my absence. To which Simeon Singer replied that I don't think they'd really be happy with my services. To which the vicar replied, oh, don't worry, they're very broad-minded here. Now, this leads us to a very unfortunate situation that exists among Goyim today, and even among Yidden, that as long as you're a holy person, it makes no difference who you are, you can operate in any religion. This certainly happened in the Second World War in America, where if you were a chaplain, you were the chaplain for the whole unit. So you could be, let's say, a Protestant, and be expected to be the chaplain for the Jews in that particular unit. You could also be a rabbi and be expected to be the chaplain for the goyim in the unit. Now, so the question is, when it comes to bikacholim, to what extent does this help, and to what extent does this hinder? And to give you the real perspective of this, since the because of multiculturalism, because of the situation where in most hospitals faith visitors will not be told who of their faith is in hospital, to the extent that for example in Watford General, which is the hospital that I visit, if I were to turn up and say, please tell me which Jews are in hospital, they will not tell me. The one person who will know will be the generic chaplain, who is happens to be Church of England, although it's not necessarily the case. You can have, there is one hospital somewhere that where a Muslim is actually the generic chaplain. And there is a, in fact, ironically, the one Jew who is a full-time chaplain is a Masorti gentleman who is the chaplain for the, I think, I can't remember whether you call it the Eden Hall or Marie Curie Hospice, who also does a certain amount of visitation in the Royal Free Hospital. And he is the only, as far as I know, the only Jew who is a full-time chaplain in this country. So you will, we get these situations where there will be a person who will actually know, simply because he or she has access to all records. But what we call the part-time, so you often volunteer visitors, will not have that access. So I will only know in the hospital that I visit that a Jew is there if either someone has told me or the patient himself or herself has, or the next of kin has initiated that conversation either with me or has spoken to someone in the full-time chaplaincy who has then informed me. At the same time, in many of these hospitals, what is happening is that besides the full-time chaplain, there will be visitors to the wards. So, for example, we had a situation not too long ago. The gentleman who was the Jewish Visitation Committee's representative in a particular hospital, the full-time chaplain said to him, we're making you the visitor to the heart ward. So he visited once a week everybody in the heart ward, whatever the religion they were. So it was quite possible for him to visit a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, etc., in the heart ward. But there might be a Jew in another ward who he would not have visited and would not have known about unless that Jew or his family had initiated the approach. So this is the cost of multiculturalism. We then come to the question as to what. By the way, there's a gentleman sitting here who many of you know to be a tzaddik, but he will tell you he is not as great a tzaddik as his great-grandfather. The gentleman who's sitting over there, you may know that his great-grandfather was such a tzaddik. Do they know? Do they know who you are? They don't know about your great-grandfather. Okay, this gentleman's great-grandfather was a Mr. Berlin. Mr. Berlin was a barber. Am I correct so far? Berliner, Mr. Berliner. Thanks for correcting me. Mr. Berliner was a barber. At some stage, he must have been in hospital. And he wasn't happy. Because the Rothschilds and the other leaders of the community towards the end of the 19th century, what they had made this fantastic arrangement whereby certain major hospitals in London had a kosher kitchen. They decided that was good enough. Providing you had your kosher kitchen, and obviously there would be a rabbi visiting you in hospital, That was all you needed. Mr. Berliner apparently must have been in hospital and found it not too much of a pleasant experience. Presumably he wanted to put on tefillin and found himself putting on tefillin in front of Christians, etc., and feeling it's a little bit difficult. And then the doctor comes and he speaks to you in English and your first language is Yiddish. Mr. Berliner decided we have to have a Jewish hospital. And Lord Rothschild said, what are you talking about? My arrangement is perfectly okay. We have Jews go into normal hospitals and have kosher food from the kosher kitchens in the hospitals. And Mr. Berliner said, no, it's not good enough. We have we speak Yiddish, it's our first language, our relatives speak Yiddish. We have great difficulty understanding the doctors. Actually, we have great difficulty understanding the doctors nowadays, but that's for a different reason. That's because we speak English and many of them don't. And Mr. Berliner just persevered, and he had a big troublemaker, Mr. Berliner. He got the whole of the East End on his side, was successful, and you know what happened in the end? Lord Rothschild said, what a wonderful idea, I'm joining you too. And for two generations, the London Jewish Hospital existed until eventually it was taken over by the NHS, and eventually it sort of, in a sense, it fulfilled its need, because now we have hospital kosher meals and the private hospitals, and even in general hospitals, you're able to, when you want to daven, you're able to draw the curtains, so you can do everything you want to much easier than you used to. I bring it to you not only because he's sitting here, but to bring you the perspective of what is best for us and what other people think is best for us will not always be the same. Okay, here goes Bikacholim, and seeing the crowd here, I can see that every one of you can read this and darshan this. I really shouldn't have bought Kisei Shulchanoruch, I should have bought a more complicated sefer. Let's have a look at this within the perspective of what part of Bikkur Cholim can only be fulfilled by a Yid and what can be fulfilled also by a Goy. Now, of course, Reb Shmuel May, when I told him a little while ago of my topic, he said, but hold on, Bikkur Cholim can't be fulfilled by a Goy, it can only be fulfilled by a Yid. He's quite correct, because it's not one of the Shevet Mitzvos B'nei Noach, so therefore only a Yid can do it. Now, however, I understand his perspective, so let me put it in a different way. Let's say one of us gives to this shtiebel £100. That will be appreciated. It's a mitzvah stocker. However, if a goy gives £1,000 to this shtiebel, it's not a mitzvah stocker because he has no mitzvah stocker. But it will be more appreciated, 10 times more appreciated than the donation that one of us gives of 100. So, in other words, you can actually have a situation where although only a Yidden can do the mitzvah, nevertheless, the action of an Einar Yehudi might be more appreciated because there's a difference between Gavra and Hefza, what's in the mitzvah is being more fulfilled by his action than by our action. So, actually it's very appropriate because it's this week, because although the first mitzvah of Bikkur Cholim that we have in the Torah is at the beginning of Vayera from Hashem, the first mitzvah of Bikkur Cholim from one human being to another is, of course, in the beginning of this week's Sedra, although you could say this is not just Bikkur Cholim, it's a mitzvah of Kibbudov, when Yosef brings his sons to see Yaakov. So, Kishecholo ha'odom, mitzvah kol odom levakro, shechim b'tim b'hakolish baruch hu, shemavakir cholim, kemoshe dorshu azal, b'posuk, v'ayuah elov Hashem b'leinim mamre, malamit shebo elov levakir cholim. Hakrovim v'chaverim shevigilim mikonis deveso tomid heimahochim levakro miyal kisheshomu shehuchola. So the people who are close to him, they visit straight away as soon as they know. Avol ha'chokim she'enim regin b'reso, but people who don't sort of, you know, the sort of people who have to phone before you, they visit you, lo yichnasu miyad, ki heichad lo lishma mazdei l'hatul olav shem chole. Because if they, it's very interesting, not, it seems to, the perspective seems to be that we're concerned that if these people visit you straight away, it will get known that you're ill. And that sort of is bad for you to be known you're ill. So, you know, initially we don't want it to be too well known that the person is ill. So we say, okay, let the people who visit, in any case, visit, and it won't be publicized as yet that this person is ill. And these people only come, the people who need to phone before they visit you, they only come after 3 days have elapsed. If, however, the person comes really ill, wonderful face, it jumps on you. Even the people who are not so close, they come straight away. Because one's become straight away ill, so they come straight away. Because in other words, there's no point it's obviously known the person's ill. Now, we have, of course, a whole thing that there's a whole, you know, you don't get important people visiting ordinary people. Ordinary people come to visit important people. There is a certain protocol. However, when it comes to bikacholim, we don't follow that protocol. Afilu hagodo yelech levakes akoton, vafilu come upon him b'yom. So, chas v'sholem, many of you are in hospital, v'ashneiba can come not just once, but a few times. V'chol ha-mosiv ha-vezim m'shuvach. That's interesting. It's an interesting perspective. The more the person visits, the better it is. I'm not sure the patient always thinks that. Uvavad shelo yeh letoach alachole. Exactly, the patient doesn't always think that. Now, of course, you know the definition of a sone is someone who doesn't speak to you for 3 days out of kas. Now, but someone who doesn't speak to you for 3 days just because he doesn't see you, it doesn't matter. But someone who sees you and over a period of 3 days doesn't speak to you, that's a sone. Obviously, we're going away from Bikur Cholim. An interesting perspective, but nothing that not something that comes into Bikuchel. It's very interesting. Often when one visits somebody in hospital, the person's lying in bed and one's standing. That's actually apparently, according to Bikur Cholim, not necessarily the most appropriate thing. It's actually better to take a chair and be sitting as close to possible on the same level as the person. Because the Shekhino is above the person's head. However, when the person is actually lying on the bed, initially he's lying on the floor, now he's lying on the bed, it's permissible to the visitor to sit on a chair. In other words, be on his level, don't be above him. Although there's obviously a psychological issue here, there's also, of course, a halachic issue because of the Shekhinah being there. Now, but what is the Ikar Mitzvahs B'Kacholim? Ikar Mitzvahs B'Kacholim hu la'ayim b'tzorcha acholim mahu tzorik la'asishlo. What does the Chole need? V'she yimtso nachas ruach im chaverot. He should find nachas ruach with his friends. V'gam she yitin da'to olov v'yivakish rachim im olov. So if we take the first thing, it is actually quite possible that an Eino Yehudi may know as well as a Jew what the Chole needs. After all, he may be his solicitor, he may be his accountant, and he may actually be better able to deal with the needs of the Chole than the Jewish visitor. Or it may well be that he is a particular gifted visitor, and actually has this ability to raise the person's the person's spirits. And you can actually have such a situation. I digress, but telling a particularly unusual story I had a few years ago. The gentleman who is the Jewish visitor for the University College Hospital, who is a layman living in Pinner, he was away. And therefore, I received a call to come to University College Hospital. This was on a Sunday afternoon. And I generally, you know, when one receives a call from a nurse, it's the nurse doesn't always get the call message right. So I said, you know, could you tell me a bit more? The story was a Greek gentleman, unfortunately a relatively young man, only 60, had fallen in a station, I think it was Baker Street Station, had fallen and had damaged his head so much that the family were telling his mother, who was his only immediate relative and was 90, that he was basically brain dead and there was no chance. And she had decided she wanted a Jewish visitor. And in a conversation with her over the phone, and of course English was not her first language and I don't speak Greek, I trying to understand what's going on. And she said, no, I want you to come. So I came. Turned out she was under the impression, or maybe misimpression, that Jews are nice people, and therefore wanted a Jewish visitor. Now, I found this very difficult. I have no problem visiting non-Jews. After all, we're actually told later on, and we won't get to it, that where is it? I know it's somewhere here. Yud Beis. So I have no problem visiting any Yehudi who's in hospital. But it seemed to me that I wasn't the right person to come for this chole. And in fact, I really debated with myself what to do. And what I actually did was I said to him, and I explained to the lady that all I was doing was I was saying prayers which are mutual to us both. And the only difference was I was saying it in Hebrew. I also did something else. I also insisted that I was not alone at any stage. I have this perspective that whenever one is with a vulnerable person, one is vulnerable oneself. I was once called to visit somebody who I did not know, and on arrival found that it was a lady and she was comatose. And I immediately had a fear that chas v'sholem the lady would die the following day, which she did, and maybe she had on her ring, and when she died the ring would be missing. And if I were by myself in the room with her, I would be suspected. So I have this principle: whenever one is with a vulnerable person, one becomes automatically vulnerable as well. And therefore, this is separate to any assurim of yichud. It's a matter of seichel in addition to that. And therefore, when I was with this patient, I insisted that I was not alone. But as I say, I just said to Hillim, which was, I didn't want to say anything which was specifically Jewish, although you would say that Tehillim is specifically Jewish, but since they've taken it in their tradition as well, all the difference was, I said it in Lashon Kodesh, which they would have said it in some other language. And since I don't know Greek, I wouldn't have helped him by saying it in Greek. So as I said, this could be done, actually, by someone of another religion or no religion. You can actually have a situation that there is a, let's say, a work colleague, a Gentile who you get on extremely well with, and he actually is the person who can actually raise your spirits as much as any yid can. However, now we come to what's serious. Now here we come to a situation which can only be when a yid is in hospital, it can only be a yid. Because once we speak about Yevakesh Rachimim Olav, it can only be one of one's own. Because here we're coming to the mitzvah in, if I'm dealing with non-Jews, I would say in the ritual sense. In other words, even if we say, using their language, even if we were to say that when it comes to spiritual uplift, even if we were to say that one person can do that for a person who of a different faith, once it comes to ritual, it's got to be us for us. Whatever the vicar said to Reverend Simeon Singer, it's just not the case. In every religion, people who are really sincere about their faith, they know it's got to be one of your own when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to what they will broadly call it. So v'yivakesh rachim imolov, that's got to be us. Now we come to the serious stuff. If I visit somebody in hospital, and all I do is say, "How are you? Oh, are you enjoying yourself? You can enjoy yourself in hospital, you know. Once you're over the serious stuff and you're just recuperating, you can actually enjoy yourself. You got something to read, you enjoy the meals here, very good, okay. But if I'm not mevakesh rachamim for the person, loki mesa mitzvah. I've spent time with him, I've enjoyed myself, he's enjoyed himself, but I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah b'kocholim, which I have not done. Because the mitzvah b'kocholim, it involves asking Hashem for rachmanos for this patient. And however much I spend time with him, however much I leave him happier than he was, more fulfilled than he was, there's a mitzvah b'kocholim which can only be done by us. A wonderful story. You now realize how the NHS understands halacha. The reason that they give is you can't come in the morning because that's when the doctors do their rounds. But this is the real reason. That's why they chuck you out at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. So the NHS learned it from us. I'm almost towards the last minute, so therefore I think that's important, number 4. Hashem, Baruch Hashem, understands all languages. And therefore, it makes no difference whether I ask for this patient's well-being in English or in Greek, if I knew it, because I'm in front of the Shekhinah and Hashem understands all languages. Apparently, the Malachi Asharis only understand Lashon Kodesh. So one has to specifically say, really, it's really Hamokum Yerachim Oso Beso Kocholi Yisra. And the important point, Shemitosh Shekolo in Halachirim Tefiloso Nishmas Yosef Bischuson Shalvabim, Vyome Hamokim Rachim Olecho Beso Kocholi Yisrael. And of course, Shabbos, you're not allowed to say this. So, Shabbos, Yom Shabbos, in Israel, Gufu Krov Olovim. Racham Avuvim, Shabbos, Yom. Now, as those of you who know me know that I sort of specialize in surnames. It's not as true as some people think. It's that in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So most people don't know anything about surnames. So I know a little bit, so I'm considered an expert. I have in my kahila a number of families who were descended from a gentleman called Agdishman. His name was probably Pinchas. He was Pesach. Pesach Agdishman, buried in Edmonton. He was a minister in one of the East End shuls. He was actually married to one of the Binstock sisters. And he died in the mid-1930s. And he has a number of his grandson and great-grandchildren in my kahila, none of whom have the name Agdishman because nobody kept it on. They changed it to different surnames. What does Agdishman mean? On his matzeva in Edmonton, it's Ayin Kuf Dalad Shin Mem Nun, or something like that. In every village, in every town, there was a Hektish. It was the Hektish was the local hospital. The Cholim went to the Hektish, and the person who looked after the Hektish was presumably the Hektishman. So he was descended from somebody who would have been the supervisor of the local sanatorium. Now, it's a very interesting thing. I've never seen it in writing, but I've heard it. Rabbi Kiva Eger, before Shachris, went to the local Hektish. In other words, that was the one thing he did before davening. He went to the local Hektish to see who was there, so that when he came to daven Shachris, he was he was davening for the cholim that he had just seen. That, as far as I can understand, is the best way of bikur cholim. Admittedly, of course, it meant that he was visiting them in the first 3 hours of the day. But look, when one is Rabbi Kiva Eger, one is able to do things in a, one has the gadlus to be able to see someone at the person's best and still understand how ill the person really is. Okay.